Welcome to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, where the discussion is about the challenges and opportunities that people face when communicating with the opposite gender. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Judy Hoberman.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Selling in a Skirt on Tough Talk Radio. I am so glad that you choose to join us every Monday at noon Central to share some lunch and some conversations. Now, I think about one of the many great benefits of having a radio show, and that would be the opportunities that are presented to me as a host from my guests and from my listeners. The truth of the matter is that you have to be good at spotting those opportunities. The question is, how do you recognize it, and does anyone really know an opportunity when they see it, especially when it doesn't come gift-wrapped? Well, that's our topic for today, opportunity. According to dictionary.com, an opportunity is an appropriate or favorable time or occasion. It's the right set of circumstances or the window of opportunity. So have you ever looked back and thought that just by not paying attention, what just went by you was a true missed opportunity? Well, you know what? If you're like most of us, chances are there were a few great opportunities that did present themselves to you, and most probably you ignored them because you didn't recognize them. Remember that beautiful box with the bow on it? That's what you're looking for. So as an entrepreneur, we look for all these little gateways to success, and while we do find them upon occasion, our goal is to have a better batting average than some of the great baseball players. But then again, even realizing some of them is better than ignoring them all. So how do you recognize an opportunity? Let's think of it this way. First of all, chances are it won't be fully thought out when you hear about it. In other words, it won't be perfect. But if it were, there'd be no room to grow or for any improvement. However, it should make you think and imagine the possibilities. Could it be the next pet rock? Or perhaps something longer lasting like the Post-it notes? That's a good starting point for conversation. Second, is it something that's technology driven and makes a task faster, easier, smarter? Is it something that you have to have any knowledge in or, more importantly, any interest in? You can latch on to any new idea, but if you need a whole team of players to try to explain how to even open it, it may not be an opportunity for you. However, if you truly believe in its merit, bring on an expert to evaluate the situation. Remember, all the times we've discussed knowing your strengths and weaknesses, this is where it comes in handy. And then what about it's about timing? Is now the right time? Is it so far out of the realm of possibilities that no one sees what you see, at least right now? Or are you trying to explain it to someone and it's falling on deaf ears? Or worse yet, getting mixed up with all the other noise that we have to navigate through? Have you ever found yourself investing in something because you trusted the person, even if the idea was a little on the crazy side or maybe too good to be true? You have to take so many things into consideration, and timing is a big one. So let's say you are open to an opportunity and you find one that's presented to you. How about if you try to zero in on it and what you need to do next? Here's a few questions that you might want to think about. What kind of opportunity are you actually looking for? Is it to make more money? Is it to start a new career? Is it to grow your tribe? And then go one step further. What do opportunities really look like? Can you describe them, identify them, touch them, see them? Sometimes you have to follow the clues to these hidden opportunities. You know, when I was looking for a new career to take care of myself and my children, I don't think I was necessarily looking for an opportunity. I think I was looking for something that I couldn't identify or describe or even name. I was looking for something. And who knew that answering one ad in the newspaper would lead to the most unusual interview that would have brought me to an opportunity that changed my life, both in the short term as well as the long term. That one phone call took me through almost 20 years of my life and led me to my company Selling in a Skirt. And I can guarantee you there was no gift wrapping involved. There was something bigger that I could have imagined. But I had to get through some of the coal to find my diamond. So something to always remember, people are your greatest source of opportunity because you know that there's always someone who's in a position to help you. If you have a service to offer, there's always someone that needs you. And if you have a product, there's a buyer for that as well. And when we talk about sales, whether it's a product, a service, or yourself, you're going to be asking lots of questions to build a relationship. And we all know that that's my favorite thing to do. But think about this. Asking the right questions will lead you to the right people. So what kind of people are you looking for? Well, that depends on what I said earlier. Is it a job? Is it money? What is it? Knowing what you're looking for will lead you to the right people, and believing that you're a valuable asset will make a huge difference in the opportunities that you attract. It's that old law of attraction. If you have confidence in who you are and what you do, then you'll attract confident people, and that will bring you to even more opportunities. And here's something to think about that will create some of your best opportunities. Focus on creating opportunities for others. When you have someone else's best interest at heart, you know the rest, it comes back to you tenfold. I am definitely someone that's a giver and want nothing more than to create exposure in business for others. Because that's my mantra, I'm a walking ambassador for many entrepreneurs, meaning that they're always on my mind wherever I go, so I can freely recommend them to my colleagues. Now, you don't really know how that all plays out until you want something or need something in return. So let me tell you, last December I decided to create my own teleseminar. I'd been on dozens and dozens of other people's platforms, and I decided I was going to create one for myself. Now, this would be my baby, so to speak. The number of experts I was planning on having was 26, 25 others, and myself. And I knew exactly who I wanted to be on the teleseminar, and I had everyone's name on my list ready to contact. And then I freaked out. What if they said no? What if they laughed at my asking just to be on my teleseminar? What if? And of course, the I'm not big enough, smart enough, or whatever you want to enough reared its ugly head. So the night I was going to contact them, I told the colonel I was going to cancel the teleseminar before I even started it. And when I told him why, he told me I was thinking crazy thoughts. The only reason anyone would say no was because of a scheduling issue. That's what he said. So I ran the same scenario with a colleague of mine, and she said the same thing that he said, and added that when anyone hears my name, they immediately want to hook their wagon to mine. So I contacted all 25 women that evening and turned my computer off for fear someone would say no right away. The next morning, all 25 were on board. The groundwork that I had done for years was coming back to me big time. Creating this opportunity for the 25 women created so much more for both them and for me. Not only did I have that teleseminar, we also had a live event, we published and launched a book, and had a second live event, all within 6 months. So many new opportunities were uncovered and more to come. So the question is, when opportunity is knocking, are you opening the door or are you afraid of what's behind it? There are so many great areas to capitalize in if you're open and you're ready. There's just one more thing to consider, though. When is it an opportunity and when is it just a distraction? So here's just a few questions to ask yourself to differentiate between the two. Is it consistent with your vision and values of your business? Is it aligned with your core competencies? Is there potential growth and does it bring value? If there's anybody else in your business, do you have their buy-in? And does it compete with existing programs or strategies? There are so many other things to consider, but that's a good start. The last thing entrepreneurs need is another shiny object to get in the way of their focus and ultimate success. Now, as Benjamin Franklin said, to succeed, jump as quickly at opportunities as you do at conclusions. When we come back, we'll be joined by an expert who takes the mystery out of opportunities. Please don't be shy and call us in to join the discussion at 347-989-1363. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now, I hope you're ready because I have a fantastic first guest, Joan Curtis. Joan is a communication consultant and an award-winning writer. She's published 4 business books about communication and business. And several years ago, she began writing fiction, her newest mystery suspense novel, The Clock Strikes Midnight. Joan's writing awards include first and second places in national competitions. The first story she wrote won the attention of Reader's Digest and was later published there. Wow, that's pretty humongous. And an interesting factoid about Joan is that she writes about characters who remind her of herself and also her sister at times. And her stories are told from a woman's point of view. So welcome to the show, Joan. I am super excited to have you here.
Thank you, Judy. I'm delighted to be part of this show.
Well, this is going to be so much fun, and we know how fast this time is going to go. So let's get right into chatting. And I want to ask you about the topic of the day, which is opportunity. So talk to me about how that word came into play in your career.
I was listening to your opening, and oh my God, I had so many thoughts about how that has entered my life and my career. The first thing I want to say about it is oftentimes the opportunity happens when you least expect it. It's like you're going around thinking that something's going to happen and something else happens and you don't see it as an opportunity and you don't expect it. And if you don't do something about it, then you've lost it. And I'll give you an example. When I first began my career as a leadership seminar trainer, and started working and trying to get my first client, I contacted someone that I thought might be a client. It was a big company. I won't name the company, but it was a big company. And he asked me to do something totally, it was out of my ballpark completely. It was like something to write a paper on something I didn't know too much about. But it dealt with an adult. I was an adult educator. I had a degree in adult education. So I thought, okay, I can do this because it kind of dealt with adult education, even though it wasn't leadership training at all. So I thought, okay, I will send him something. And I did some research, and I sent it to him. Well, that became my biggest client all through the rest of my career. And that was an opportunity I almost missed.
Yeah, you have to be not only open to it, but you have to realize at some point it was an opportunity. You know, that's the big part. That's why I said when I started in my career, who knew what the opportunity was going to present itself over 20 years later?
Every time that happens to me, I mean, I even think about when I was looking for a publisher for The Clock Strikes Midnight, and I had written already another book. One of the things you learn as a fiction writer is you can't just sit back and wait for your book to be published. You have to be writing the next manuscript and writing the next manuscript. Otherwise, you've wasted a lot of time. So I had put The Clock Strikes Midnight aside, and I was really pushing this other manuscript. And one day, I had two possibilities, one publisher or the other, and you can't send to both. You can't do it simultaneously. So I thought, okay, I'll just go ahead and send The Clock Strikes Midnight to this other one and just see what happens. Well, they bought it. It was like I was so shocked because I was actually really focused on the other book at that time. So, again, it was an opportunity I just did not expect, and there it was.
Okay, so you talk about opportunity and everything else. So do you think that just having an opportunity to write is all you need to become an award-winning writer, or does confidence come into play? What else comes into play? Because I think that sometimes if you're in the right place at the right time, you have more of an opportunity to do something spectacular.
Yes, absolutely you do if you're in the right place at the right time. But as a writer, particular writer that I can't really, I mean, I don't really want to, I don't want to debunk the whole country here, but I kind of am, because if you're a writer who doesn't live in New York City, it's a lot harder. That's just the bottom line. All the agents, the publishers, many of them are right there. And if you look at the bestseller list, you see that. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be a very, very successful writer living somewhere else. You just have to work harder. You have to work harder at it. Now, there are a lot of people who think, if I write well, like you said in your opening, I can just sit back and it's going to happen to me. Well, that's not the case. You've got to be very aggressive. You've got to make the opportunities happen. You have to get out there. And you get a lot of rejections. You get a lot of things that happen to you that hurt your confidence. The question is, do you get back up? Do you keep going? That is one of the hardest things. And yet if you don't do it, you'll never be successful as a writer.
Right. So it's almost like being in sales, where you have to have this thick skin because, you know, rejection is rejection, and it's one step closer to getting to the right people. So
yes. And also you have to understand what rejection means. And as I guess when it's your baby, you're sending out your baby, something you've worked on for so long and so hard, and you get a rejection, it hurts. And it's hard to just step back and say, what does this rejection mean? Some of them clearly are rejections because they haven't read your baby. I mean, they haven't had time. They've got so many other things, and you're getting basically a form letter back or a form email. But many rejections are not actually rejections. And I remember early in my career when I was sending out manuscripts to agents, and agents are very hard to get as a writer. And I got a rejection that said, this could really work if, and she named what I needed to do. Well, I had gotten so many rejections by then, I just stuck that in a rejection folder and left it there for years. A missed opportunity. Later, I looked at that, and I was just kicking myself because it was way too late. You have to understand that some rejections are really not rejections.
Right, right. And you know what's funny? When I wrote my first book, I didn't write it to be a bestseller or anything. I had 30 years that I had to get out on paper, and I was using it as a business card, basically. And so I would send it to CEOs of companies, and I would always put something on a certain page just to see if they really read it or not. And one of them, you know, he called and he said, this is, you know, it's good. I just don't know if you're right for the company or whatever. And I said, well, what did you think of? And I said, did you read the whole book? He said, cover to cover. And I said, really, what did you think about the message on whatever page it was? He said, oh, it was great. And I said, oh, interesting, because at that point you were supposed to call me so we could schedule lunch.
That was very sneaky, Judy.
Yes. Well, because, you know, I thought, you know, how do you know if people are really reading what you're presenting to them?
Right. But, and you have to know, and you, as a writer, you begin to realize that they get so much. How do you make your particular manuscript or your particular book, how do you grab their attention? How do you do that? And that's very hard. Many times it's just timing. It's what they happen to be looking for at that moment.
Absolutely. So let's ask you a real serious question. You get to decide what you want to write about. So are you more of a nonfiction girl or a fiction girl?
Oh, that's a real hard question. Okay, I will say I'm more of a fiction girl. And the reason for that is that I spent the first part of my career writing nonfiction, writing business books, and I wrote and published four of them. I don't have anything else to say. Like, after four books, you're kind of done. I mean, it's like, what else do I know? I'm not sure I can tell you anything else unless I make it up. So then I have to go to fiction.
Right, right.
Fiction is just so much fun to write. I mean, it's your creative juices are just flowing. Characters enter you don't expect. If you don't like somebody, you can just kill them off. I mean, You can't do that in a business book.
Well, you could, just a little differently. That's funny. That's funny. So, you know, as a woman, let's talk about women as writers. What's the hardest thing for women to know about writing? Because, you know, I mean, I truly believe that everyone has a book in their head, in their heart, they do, but not everybody gets it out. And especially, you know, there's a lot of women that say, I can't write a book. So what's the hardest thing for women to do about writing?
I've had women, I'm also a coach, and I have had women clients that I've coached who were told as students they couldn't write, and by teachers. And the confidence, I mean, these are adults now, and they still remember those words. And I think that part of it is, if you really, really want to write, you should write. You might not be as good at it as someone else at first, but you can learn, and you can learn the craft of writing. There is a lot of talent involved, but there's also a lot of learning, and the learning anyone can do if they have the passion. Many women have stories in them that need to be told, and the question is, do they have the confidence to put it down on paper?
Right. Absolutely. So now go one step further. You mentioned to me that most readers are women and most book buyers are women, yet many of the female writers don't use their name. They use a pen name or their initials rather than using their real names. Why is that?
To me, that was astounding to find out. One of the reasons, and it's been apparently surveyed, so this is true, men prefer to read books written by men. And as a new writer, you do not want to eliminate 50% of the population of readers by just putting your name on there as your feminine name. So a lot of female writers tend to disguise their femininity or their femaleness by using their initials. The best example of that is J.K. Rowling.
Mm-hmm.
When she first published Harry Potter, her publisher told her, you cannot use Joanne. If you say your name is Joanne, you won't sell as many books. Now, I can't help but wonder if maybe that wasn't true because the books were so very, very compelling, but it's scary to think that still exists.
So now take that one step further. Why is it that men prefer to buy books that are written by men? I mean, is that only with, you know, basically a business book, any subject? Why is that? I mean, women are great writers.
Yes, you know that, and I know that, and you're asking me, and I don't know. Why would a man not want to buy? Why wouldn't he want to read a book by a woman? That's just very strange. Maybe it's a macho thing. Maybe they think that women can't really relate to their needs as well as men. Women read both. They read books written by men and women. They don't have that barrier. Men, on the other hand, tend not to, and I think that's very sad. Now, hopefully it will change, but again, if you're a new writer and you're trying to attract male and female readers, you may very well consider not using your female first name because you don't want to close out those potential buyers.
Well, let me just tell you that my book, Selling in a Skirt, it's about women in sales, and that's what the tagline is, you know, what women don't know they should know about sales. But then I put in this little tiny other little tagline, like a PS, and what men should know too. Because I knew for a fact Selling in a Skirt by itself is, you know, a lot of men say, I don't wear a skirt, I'm not into this. And then when you put it's for women, then they're like, I really don't need this, but it really was more for men anyway.
I wonder if they sneak and read the books.
I actually have a client that was on a plane, and the man next to her was reading my book, and she kept looking over, and finally he said, do you want to read this? So let me ask you another question. How important is the cover of a book?
Oh, the cover is very important, and I'm really excited about my cover for The Clock Strikes Midnight that just came out. We had a very professional cover artist who designed it. But it's very important because it tells the reader before they even open the book what the book is about. And if they don't like the cover, often they won't buy the book. Now, I'll say that, but also let me just add that when The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo came out, I don't know if you remember that cover, but it was hideous, absolutely hideous. I bought the book long before it became really popular, and I kept it on my shelf forever because of the cover. And when I finally opened it and started reading, I devoured it. But I would have never bought that book just based on the cover.
Isn't that interesting? And, you know, I always think that the cover is what makes you even pick the book up. I mean, if it's a horrible cover, and yeah, you're right, because that book sold gazillions of copies. But for me, you know, especially I am not, you know, I don't sell a million books. I would like to say I do, but I don't. But if I don't have the right cover, I don't pick up a book unless I at least like the cover.
That's right. And so it's very, very important, critical, and often publishers don't give the writer enough input in that cover. And fortunately, my publisher did with my fiction, but with my nonfiction books, my business books, they would send me like one or two choices, and that's all I had, and I had very little input.
Interesting. Okay, so are you a Kindle version book or a real book person?
I'm a Kindle version book.
Are you? I would have definitely thought you were a real book person.
Do I sound that old?
No, but I mean, I know I am a real book person because I like to put post-it notes in it. I like to you know, highlight. I like to do all these kind of things. And I know you could do some of that with Kindle, but it's not the same.
Oh, it is the same. And you can write notes, and you can highlight, and you can go back, and you can study it. Yes, I love flying through books. So you can do that with that. I mean, I'm even doing it with my finger right now, going page, 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 page. Can't do that with a real book.
I know that. And the interesting thing is, I don't remember the exact statistic, but people are buying like 10 times more Kindle versions than they are of real books. Because it's less expensive and it's easier to, you know, to read.
You can take all your books with you wherever you go.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Being a crazy reader, I have to be able to do that.
Yeah. I don't know. I still like the real ones. So what's next for you?
What is next for me? I am The Clock Strikes Midnight comes out November 25th. So right now I am just inundated with blog tours and all of that related to releasing that book on the 25th of November. I'm also writing my third mystery, which won't come out at least for 2 years, but I'm writing it.
Well, there you go. There's no, hey, that's the best thing to do is have it done way before you need it.
That's right. That's what I want to have, so that when my editor comes to me and says, what do you have next, it's ready. And I don't have to think of a deadline. I can't write with a deadline.
Yeah, well, you know, I think some people do better with a deadline, but I think it's always nice to be, you know, much more prepared. So,
yes.
So how can our listeners connect with you? Because I know they're all going to want to get a copy of the book and find out more about you and everything else that you do.
Well, I hope they will want to get a copy of the book because it will be available for pre-order on Amazon probably within the next month. But they can reach me at my website, www.joancurtis.com. Very simple. They can find me on Facebook the same way, Joan Curtis, joancurtis.com. The C will get them directly to me. They can also find me on Amazon on my author's page and where else? On Twitter as well, Joan Curtis.
Awesome. So what do you want to leave our listeners with today? Because I know they're waiting for that one amazing nugget that they can take away with them.
I would say that if you're out there and you want to write a book, write it, persevere, and take the risk of sending it out. Even if you get rejections, it's worth it. Those that persevere and meet those opportunities will be successful.
Awesome. Well, Ms. Joan, you are a powerhouse of knowledge, and I am so glad you took some time to sneak us into your schedule. I can't wait to hear about your next book or two or ten or whatever, and whatever, you know, I personally can do to help you promote it, please don't hesitate to ask.
This has been delightful, Judy, and I enjoyed meeting you, and I look forward to your next book as well.
Oh, stop. Please don't say that, because I know the Colonel, my husband, is listening, and I'm sure now he's going to say, see, the best-selling author who writes lots of books in advance is already writing a book. Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it, Joan. I liked you before. Not so much now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is great.
Thank you. And we're going to take a break to make sure we thank our sponsor, The Report for Women. It's It's an important information source for women in business. Check them out at www.thereportforwomen.com. Here's what you need to do. You subscribe for free, save it onto your favorite places. That report will automatically update on a regular basis. So if you're ready to watch your business get some great buzz, become one of our sponsors. Go to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com and click on the sponsor tab and watch your business soar. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to Internet radio in the last month, or that weekly Internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the Internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now, let's make sure you stay current with everything that's going on, all our events, all our updates, everything that our guests are doing. Go ahead and like us on Facebook at Selling in a Skirt and Tough Talk Radio. And be my friend. Ask me at Judy Hoberman. And, of course, follow me on Twitter at Selling in a Skirt. Remember, staying connected gives you access, and access takes you to success and profitability. Okay, ready for my next guest? Well, he and I have a lot in common with our backgrounds. Tommy Culpa has been in sales since 1984 and in the financial services industry for the past 3 years. He spent time in information technology with some major pharmaceutical companies. He was a senior recruiter for a retainer search firm staffing 100 and 500 financial service companies. In 1998, he founded MicroStaff, an IT staffing firm focusing on disaster recovery, business continuity solutions to Fortune 500 companies in the Northeast. Then, 2 years after 9/11, he merged MicroStaff with an offshore IT company while supporting their domestic operations as a senior vice president. 3 years ago, he began working in the insurance industry in Texas, offering solutions to individuals, families, and small and medium businesses. He learned the Health Care Act. That's a long one to learn. He offered long-term care, Medicare supplement policies to those of age 65 and up. He's currently a field advisor with People Helping People, which is the fastest-growing financial services marketing company in the country. His primary focus is to conduct needs assessment to young families, businesses, and the baby boomer market, offering solutions so they can live a lifestyle of significance. Welcome to the show, Tommy. What an incredible journey you've been on.
Judy, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure talking to you previously, and look forward to have a great show here.
Well, we are so excited. So Let's dive right in. And it seems to me that the word opportunity is no stranger to you. Can you tell us how that word fits into your incredible ride through all these years?
Yeah, I sure can. We've all made mistakes in our life by passing up opportunities. And I've always said years ago when you mentioned that I was in the IT consulting industry, it always took me an extra 5 to 7 years to make a decision, which meant I passed up opportunities, okay, during that period of time. And then when I got involved in that opportunity 7 years or 5 years later, I said, well, why didn't I do it sooner? So I think opportunity is in front of us all the time. I think we have choices that we need to make, and we need to find out what opportunity is best for us, for our families, okay, for our financial freedom, for our finances within our own household, and also within our community.
Okay, and I agree. I mean, there are opportunities all around us. But with all the success you've had in the IT world, what made you get into the financial world with people helping people? In other words, was there an opportunity just flashing that big old neon sign saying, come this way?
Well, to be honest with you, a friend of mine decided not to get involved in a major insurance company, and he said, you know, I know the general manager, so why don't you go in and talk to him? So I did, and he hired me on the spot, and I stayed within the business, and then they moved a little bit out of the area, and I decided to get into the healthcare industry and work with Medicare, Medicare Supplement, because I knew that the baby boomers were now turning 65, and there was a major need for that. And I decided to stay in the business, and you know, when you say get into it, if you look back at the industries from, oh gosh, many years ago, the healthcare industry, the entertainment industry, the telecommunications, the insurance and financial service industries today is $140 trillion business, as opposed to even just the next in line, which is the travel, which is $9 trillion. And I just believe that the insurance and financial services industry today is one of the most popular industries to become into that, to get into today in order for your financial success, but more importantly, to help all these people, all these baby boomers who are outliving their money, all right, or dying too soon because they don't have the right insurance.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And knowing from personal experiences, women are perfect in the financial arena because they build relationships. What are you seeing with women in the company, in your company?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, in general, I have to say that I think just women are becoming a major force in all industries today and are being more welcomed now than ever before, even though it's still a male-dominated, you know, market. I think women are, you know, more tenacious in many ways. I think that they have, they're just more intuitive, and they like to take action. And, gosh, I hate to diss all the guys out there, but I'll tell you this, that women seem to know how to do things. They know how to wake up, send the kids off to school, work, come home, cook dinner, and still get things done. And we, in our company, like busy people because busy people get things done. And in our company in Dallas, Texas today, right, the women that we have in our organization are just moving up the ladder so fast. And the reason is because they are tenacious and they just want to prove themselves to be better people in the industry that we are working in today.
Absolutely. Okay, now I know we don't have a lot of time about everything we want to chat about, and I know you really can't go into great depth in this short period of time, but we all know that school does not prepare anyone for the real world. So how does helping people help individuals and families and businesses to actually succeed and prosper?
Well, you're absolutely right. Nobody, and I've done a lot of personal surveys myself, and I've asked so many people over the past few months, you know, did you learn how to save money when you were in seventh grade, high school, even college, and manage your finances? And the answer really, really is no. And in People Helping People, all right, which was founded by Patrick Bet-David out in California, it's about 7 years ago, what we've done is put a playbook together, which is an entire process. And the process is really to go out and recruit really good talent in the industry, to go out to talk to families, individuals, and businesses. Talk to them about their finances. Talk to them what's most sensitive to them. How much money do they have in the bank? What kind of insurance do they have? Are they protecting their assets today, their money today? Do they have plans to send their children to education, to college? If they do, do they have enough funding aside for that? So we actually will do a full needs assessment. We're not a sales company in the sense of the words that we'll go out and we'll try to sell a product. We don't have a product. We're appointed by 16 different companies, so off the top insurance and financial companies. So we do a needs assessment on each individual out there and educate them on the need based on what their needs are.
Awesome. I think that, you know, you learn so much with a needs assessment. And of course, my favorite thing is asking questions because I am the question queen. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have a quote on your website that I love. It says, bringing back life to the life insurance industry. Can you tell our listeners
right.
what that actually means?
Absolutely. Bringing back life to the insurance industry. Well, a lot of people have been so fearful of insurance. You know, they insure their automobiles. They insure so many other things in life. They'll buy a mobile phone and they'll take insurance out on that. But they won't take insurance out on themselves, life insurance on themselves. They won't take annuities. People don't realize that they have perhaps 401k rollovers that they could roll over into an annuity. An annuity is a life insurance in itself. So we educate the people on the insurance aspects today of whatever their needs are in their families and in their personal lives and in their business lives. So we want to educate them about insurance. And, you know, so many people that I talk to just say, I have enough insurance. We don't know what enough insurance is until we do that full needs assessment. People need 10 times their income, okay, for life insurance today. So we will actually go out today and talk to the individuals about what their needs are in terms of life insurance and making them aware of what it really is and the importance of life insurance. And on our website, we have so many testimonials, and some of them are very sad and you know, tear-touching, video clips of people who have died without life insurance and didn't have enough in life insurance for their family. So we're really educating them and bringing that back to the industry today that life insurance is very, very important for everybody.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Tommy, because when I was doing life and health, I remember that my market for life insurance was generally over 40. The ones that were under 40 thought they would never need it. They didn't really believe in it. It's like pre-need insurance. You know, when do you sell it? Who is the right buyer for it? So how do you determine, or how do you help them determine when they are below 40 years old that life insurance is really important no matter what your age is?
Well, there's two ways, really. I show them what it costs today for hypothetically a $1 million policy when they're 30 years old, and I show them what it is when they're 40 and 50 and 60. And that opens their eyes to say, wow, I can buy a policy that's very, very inexpensive today and have it for the rest of my life. But more importantly, I've known personally people that are in their 30s that have passed away without life insurance. And we never know how long we're going to live. We never know when our last day on this earth is. So it's very important to have life insurance. And our testimonials on our website and my personal background, just being in the world today, can let them know the testimonials and things that have happened to friends of mine who have passed away without life insurance or without the right protection. So it's always better when you're younger to take out life insurance, all right, even though you think you don't need it because you're healthy and you work out at the gym and you're strong, but you never really know. So I like to just, by testimonials alone, show them what's important. And then also the pricing factor of it, the premiums, all right, when I show them the amount that it would cost them today versus 20 years from now.
Right, and you're never as healthy as you are this very moment.
Oh, actually, absolutely. That could change
yeah.
in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's go back to women again. And you mentioned
mm-hmm.
that women have a strong desire to pioneer opportunities. That was something that you had sent to me. What does that mean, actually, in your view about women?
I don't think they're as complacent anymore or as fearful about getting in the industry and voicing their opinion. I think they bring a lot of intuitiveness into a company, and they voice their opinion, and they're willing to make changes and offer changes within the organization that they work in. For instance, like, you know, September is Life Insurance Awareness Month, right? So the women in our company that are building teams of people underneath them, right, which is really, we are a marketing financial services company, right? They just seem to go out there and work a lot harder. And, you know, in life, I've always said this, that behind every successful man is a successful woman, all right? And she supports that man, and he becomes very, very successful. Well, that's taking a little bit of a turn today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the women are going out there and are a driving force. They're intuitive. They're bringing new changes to the companies. And the men are supporting them even more so today than they have in the past. So I just think the women overall are just more creative and more action-oriented.
Okay, so do you think that women are still just a niche market, or have they grown substantially as both business owners and purchasing giants?
No, I think they, first of all, I think the women today are probably 80% of the women today are, you know, or I should say within the households, 80% of the women are the major buyers in that. And there was a survey, if I can recall, by a major retainer search firm in the country that the average age of women entrepreneurs is 41 years, and 42% who responded are below the age of 40. So they're becoming a big factor in being an entrepreneur. And the reason is because they have so many things to do if they have children and other opportunities in their family lives that they have to take care of. They have more freedom to be entrepreneurs. They can schedule their own time. The sky is the limit in terms of their earning powers as well.
Okay. So who do you think has a bigger ego in business, men or women? And how does that play into seizing opportunities?
Well, that's the challenge, Judy. I think men have real big egos. I really do. And I think women are successful because they don't let their egos get in the way.
Hmm. Okay. Do you think women take things too personally?
No, I don't. I think sometimes some women, honestly, may hold on to something a little bit longer. You know, two guys in a boxing ring can go at it and be friends for the rest of their life. But there's always that thing that a woman will come back and say, you know, you remember what you did 7 months ago or 7 years ago? I think they need to, you know, loosen up on that a little bit. And I think the professionals that are in the business today sort of just let that roll off their shoulder, and they look at today and tomorrow, not yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important to move forward, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, so last year I was on main platform for a very large insurance, life insurance conference. And of the 3,000 people that were there, these were all agency managers and managing partners. These were all executives. These were not the field advisors. Of the 3,000, less than 10% were female. And that's a big it's like a red flag, because this industry is so relationship driven. So in your opinion, how do we get more women into this industry and get them into management positions where they can help even more women and more men as well?
How do we get them in? I think basically by educating them, by recruiting. We in particular go out and we're heavily involved in various networking groups, okay, various ethnic groups to bring women into the community of financial services. So I think it's really how we recruit them and find the right women for the positions. And, you know, that could be a big factor in, you know, the conference may have been set up for mostly men. I can't tell you that, but I can tell you that I've been to many seminars where there's a 50-50 split and more women are coming into it. So I think just going out and you know, recruiting women today, but not necessarily focusing on women, selecting the right person for the job, but you'll find that there's many women that'll just compete against the man, you know, one-on-one.
Right, right. I always say, you know, if you're going to recruit someone, cut the name off the resume and hire the right person as opposed to because she's a woman. Because I was promoted because I was a woman, and I know that. Of course, I did prove them wrong because it wasn't the only reason I should have been in that position, but I knew I was in it. So I think that it's the right person. So So what's next for you, Tommy? What's on the scoreboard for you?
Well, we're starting up our Dallas office right now on what we call a 90-day run over the next couple months. So we're looking to build teams of people. I have personally joined a number of networking groups where there are dominance in women in those groups. We're going to build our office as best as we can. Jason Graziani is our senior vice president. We're promoting quite heavily from within. The overall company has about 165 agents around. We're all throughout Dallas today, and Dallas is going to be a big player in the market today, as well as all of Texas. So we're going to be opening up three new offices in the beginning of January of 2015, and we're going to expand and move people out from our current Dallas location into those areas and let them be the leaders in those offices and rebuild, because there's always a point where you get so big that you just can't grow anymore, so you need to split up the organization. And we're in that fact right now, so we're all looking to get promoted up to directors and to marketing directors and have ownership in the company.
Great. Okay. So here's a question. If you knew then what you know now, would you change anything?
I would have started a lot sooner.
That's
for sure.
What people say. Yeah.
I would have started a lot sooner. I would have taken care of my finances a lot better than when I was younger and had other interests. I would have taken care of all my finances in terms of health care, which people don't seem to do today. They just don't realize that the government is not going to be there for us for too much longer. We've got to take care of our own finances. So, yeah, if I knew this, what I know today, years ago, I would have no hesitation whatsoever become involved in the financial services markets today.
Awesome. Okay, so how can our listeners connect with you and People Helping People?
Absolutely. Well, number one, we have a website that was just launched on September 3rd. It's already gaining national recognition, and we've heard through the grapevine that some of the big companies locally are looking at it and said, who's PHP? People Helping People. They're just, you know, expanding so much throughout the country today. So if anybody is interested in joining our company, as a field advisor and an agent and moving up in the company, they can go to www.thephpagency.com. And there's many testimonials on there that you could see. There are it's a fabulous website. Talks about life insurance awareness in September being the month. They can go on that site, or they can contact me directly at tommy1tmk@gmail.com, or call me directly at 214-531-2112. But if you go to the website, all our information is on there, and you can see what you know you'd want to do in terms of the products that we have to offer and the companies that we represent, as well as contacting us for opportunities within the organization.
And it's a great website, and it's very user-friendly, so I encourage people to go and take a peek. So what do you want to leave our listeners with today?
Well, I'd like to leave the listeners with that they should really look at their own finances and look into the future and say, you know, when am I going to retire? Will I have enough money to retire when I want to retire? Because people today are working in their 60s and 70s, and gosh, I know people 77 years old that are still working. So I think people should take a look at their finances today and really consider what they want to do, and talk to their financial advisors, their insurance people, and become friends with them. And you know, it's not just, you know, that we go out there and sell something. It's not the way it is anymore. We like to go out and do that needs assessment. So I think the people today need to look at their finances. They need to understand what they need for retirement and put that plan together. And it's never, never too late to start.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Tommy, thank you so much. This was very informative and, of course, very relevant and very valuable. So I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us on the show today.
I appreciate it, Judy. Thank you so much.
And we will be posting everything everywhere, so take a peek in a couple of minutes because you'll have a link as well. So thank you very much.
Sure will. Thank you, and have a great day.
You too. And we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to wrap up the show with a few additional tips on opportunity. You can never learn too much about that. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to Internet radio in the last month, or that weekly Internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the Internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action. But not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon Central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. You know, opportunities are all around us. So let's talk about the opportunity for women in business, because it's an entirely new picture. And here are some reasons why. First, women are opportunity experts. They see opportunity in everything and everyone. The same way women have a relationship with everything they see is the same way they see opportunity. And when they see a good one, they seize the moment and inspire others to do the same. Next, women are also relationship specialists. Those that they build relationships with are genuine and meaningful. They can tell immediately if someone is not being authentic, and they use their intuition to assess that situation. Women focus on not only the short-term relationship to just get acquainted, they focus on the long-lasting relationships that will benefit everyone involved. Women are natural givers to others, to their families, and to their communities. They live their lives through a cause that serves the advancement of societal needs. Women inspire each other, and in most cases, they lift as they climb. And women network like a professional. They meet, they build relationships, and they follow up. Their mission is to create relationships that will discover opportunities that many men can miss. They open doors for one another, and their goal is to make a difference in the lives of others. Now, we always talk about opportunity knocking at your door, but here's the real truth. If opportunity doesn't knock, build the door. I thank you all for tuning in every Monday at noon Central, where we share some extraordinary guests, some ideas for your business, and ways to stand out as the amazing women that you are. Make sure you stay connected with us, and remember, women want to be treated equally, not identically. Until next week, this is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.